Scripture today tells a story about one of the patriarchs. There are three patriarchs, right? There's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're the three leading characters, or three of the four leading characters in the book of Genesis. Joseph would be the other, and we'll hear from him in the next couple of weeks. And so the reading this morning will tell us, and the sermon to follow will tell us the Jacob story.
That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. And I'm reading from the book of Genesis, I beg your pardon, chapter 32, starting with verse 22. And Jacob is preparing to meet his brother Esau, whom he fears. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man said, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon.
I'm going to add a couple of verses from the next chapter, because when the sun came up and Jacob met his brother, we have this scene. But Esau ran to meet him, Jacob, and embraced him, and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And then from the New Testament, this reading from Paul's letter to the church in Rome. "I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption to sonship. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen." So this morning, I want to make the sermon a first person. Have I ever done that here before?
Maybe once.
We can't remember. We're too old to remember. I would like to share the Jacob story with you as a first person sermon. And I hope the pet will be pleased. Now let's see. I want to make sure we get this thing here working. And I want to put it on.
Turn
it. It's on.
Turn it off. Turn off mute.
Turn off mute. And now I'm on?
Yes.
I had this just the opposite.
Yes.
Let us pray. Oh God, may our gathering together under your word bring new life, new strength, new vision, new blessing to us and to the world. Amen. I hope I don't fall. My name is Jacob, and I guess the first thing you may know about me, if you don't, I'll just tell you, I hated my older brother. We're twins, the two of us. Esau, the older, he came out first, and then I came out. Two boys, twin boys. Mama said that even before we came out, we were fighting each other in the womb. And from the minute I was born, I hated him. For one thing, he was strong, and he was so much stronger than I was. He grew up to be hairy-chested with big arms, but when we were kids, he would roll out of bed in the morning, and he would do 100 push-ups easily. And I could never do more than 50 at the best, but most of the time, after 40 or 30 or maybe 25, I was winded and would quit. And from the very beginning, you know, when he was could hardly walk, he was using a bow, and he was learning to shoot, and he was killing game. And me, I was just so different. He thought having a good time was chopping wood. I was just different. I strayed around Mom when she was doing her chores, mainly because she told stories. I loved to hear the stories. I was an intuitive person. I lived in ideas and dreams and possibilities and imagination. As a child, I would look up into the sky and see the clouds, and they would take various shapes, and I would make stories up about what was going on. And Esau, he was over there doing push-ups and chopping wood. We were so different. Some of the best stories I heard from Mom, though, were about my grandfather, Abraham. You've heard of him. He was the first patriarch. He was the one who first heard God's word to go, out of you will be a great nation. I love those stories. And the story about the day that God told him to take my father Isaac out in the way far away and to put him on an altar and to take a knife and sacrifice him like an animal. But just at the last moment, God intervenes, says stop, and there's a ram, and the ram becomes the sacrifice and not my father. I love those stories. And Mom was pretty honest too. She also, you know, told me about Abraham's mistakes and sins. He had plenty, as we all do. We don't get to be perfect. None of us, even the great Abraham, not perfect. None of us can claim that. We're all in the same boat, all struggling. We all make our mistakes, and we make big ones. Well, a day came when my father, was about ready to die. And it was the custom for the patriarch, the father, the head of the clan, to pass on the blessing to the oldest son. The oldest son then became the inheritor of the flocks and the herds and the wealth. and was the protector of the clan and was the leader. It was an important thing. A blessing given was so important, and once given, it could never be taken back. It could never be passed to another. It was a once and done thing, the blessing. And Mom and I worked up this deal where I would dress up with a hairy coat, and I would go and pretend that I was my older brother, and I would get the blessing. So I went into his tent, and he's blind. He's old, and he can't see. And he said, "Who is it?" And I lowered my voice a little bit, and I said, "It's Esau, your elder son." And I got the blessing. And as soon as my older brother heard about it, and father had died, he said, "As soon as the time of mourning is over, I will have his life." And when Mom heard of that, she said to me, "Get out here. Go, go. Get. Run. Go back to my parents, my family, back in Haran. You'll be safe there. Just leave right now. Go." And so I did, taking one thing with me, a stick. It's all I had, a stick. And here I'm headed out from Canaan and on my way to Haran. And you think that was easy? How would you like to walk from Pittsburgh to New Haven, Connecticut? With no motels, no cafes for nice little dinners on the, you know, on the side of the road. The heat, the sun, the cold, the rain. I would have been robbed many times. I didn't have anything but a stick, so all the robbers just sort of let me go. I got strong, though, physically on that trip. Many months took me to get there. I could feel my body getting stronger each day, actually. One morning I rolled out and I did 90 push-ups. Not as many as Esau, but almost. I was getting there. And it gave me time to think. Lots of time to think. Who was I? What did these stories mean? These stories about Abraham and these other people in my lives. What was the purpose of their lives and my life? What's it all about? Had a lot of time to think. Well, I made it to Haran, and then there was a whole bunch of adventures. We don't have time to talk about all those adventures and love affairs and the wives I took and all of that kind of stuff. Many adventures, my uncle, and we got into a fight and all kinds of things happened. But the most important thing that happened, and by the way, we got to have more than one wife back then, so I had 13 children. More than one wife. Yeah, two or three of them melting out here. Had 12 sons. Had one daughter. The 12 sons became the 12 tribes of Israel, the new nation that God was lifting up. And Judah, out of Judah's seed, some many years later, a king was born by the name of David. And later on, out of that same family, the tribe of Judah, another king was born, whose name is above every name, King Jesus. And as, of course, the New Testament says, there will be a day, there will be a moment and a time when every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and beneath the earth. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that King Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. So that's part of my story. But something happened to me that really defined me more than anything else. I heard the voice of God as my grandfather Abraham heard that word, go. I heard the voice, and God said, go back home. And I gathered my wives and my children and my flocks and my goats and my herds and my servants. I'd become a very wealthy man in Haran. And we began the journey back to Canaan. The journey back to Esau. And as we were making our way, the messengers came after a long period of time and a lot of traveling. The messengers came and said, your brother Esau is headed straight for you. He didn't need help. We know that. He could have handled Jacob by himself. Your brother Esau is heading right to you with 400 men. Oh my gosh, he's bringing an army. And they're all hairy-chested with big arms and tattoos, and they know how to use a knife and a bow and an arrow, and these 400 men, along with Esau, are headed his way. No hope at all that he would ever get out of that. That I would ever get out of that. I sent my family across the river for protection that night. And I was by a river by myself. I was alone. The river, as was read, has a name, Jabbok, but Jabbok means struggle. Do you know that river? The river struggle? That's where I was. And as night came on, I was attacked. The scripture says that it was Ish. I was attacked by Ish, which means a man. But in the book of Hosea, it says it was an angel. But who? We don't know. See, that's part of the mystery of this story. We really can't explain it. It's clouded in mystery. What happens this night? What's going on? What's happening? And so this Ish, this presence, began to struggle with me. We entered into a wrestling match. And we fought all night. And as the sun began to come up, Ish, oh, hit me right on the hip. Oh, wrench my hip. And he said, let me go. And I said, I will not let you go until you bless me. And Ish says, what is your name? And I said, Jacob. And Ish said, you are no longer Jacob, but Israel. Israel, what a name. Israel, meaning one who struggles with God. The struggles with God. You see, As you know, and as I have learned after all these years, life is a struggle. We don't get easy. Nobody gives us easy. Our lives are not a Hallmark movie where everybody is beautiful and everything turns out happy in the end. It's a Christmas story of some kind. Our lives are lived next to the River Jabbok struggle. And as the sun came up, I began walking to my brother. I had seen the face of God that night. And I began walking to my brother. And as I walked, I limped. And for the rest of my life, every time I took a step, I remembered that I belonged to God. You see, what I discovered was our struggles, which are inevitable and which are a part of every life, can do a number of things to us. Our struggles can make us mean. Our struggles can make us angry and hostile to the world. Our struggles can cause our hearts to shrivel and we lash out and hurt people. And the reason we do that is because we're so hurting so badly ourselves. Or our struggles, our pain, our sorrows, our hurts can transform us and become a door in which the very life of God flows. That's our struggle. To let the life of God flow through our pain, through our loss, through our hurt. And then I saw him, Esau. As I limped, I saw him, and we, after all of these years, we came together. And when I looked at his face, there were tears rolling down his face. And we hugged each other, and we wept together. And for the second time that day, I saw the face of God. I give you a new name, Jacob. You are no longer Jacob. You are Israel. And you know that Israel never gives up. And you will never give up. You will keep limping. You will keep seeing. And you will keep feeling and knowing and experiencing the very face of God. Amen. Let us pray. God, enter into our lives, we pray, with your very presence, goodness, that whatever life gives to us, it may become a door of your very presence. In Jesus' name, amen.